Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being with you all on today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm filled, y'all. Oh, if y'all only knew today is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We praise God for being here today in Jesus' name. We praise God for God being God. We praise God for Him being Him, not for the materialistic stuff that he allows us to be blessed with, but we praise God for being God and that all by himself. Amen. We praise God in Jesus' name. First, giving honor to God who is the head of my life in Jesus' name. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network. Amen. Apostle Cook and our assistant director, our assistant director, man, Bishop Carver, amen. God bless you both in Jesus' name. And all of the Spirit Alive family in Jesus' name. Giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, in Jesus' name. My first lady slash co-pastor, Cosette Chapman Tuggle, in Jesus' name. And also giving honor to all. I don't want to leave any of you guys out in Jesus' name, our listeners in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise God for today. I thank God. Amen. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic today that is very, I always find myself saying this, but the Lord has pressed up on my spirit to talk about something that is very, very powerful. And I know every time God has somebody speaking about a topic, it's always powerful, especially when it doesn't come from us, but it comes from God. Amen. And it's on time when it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is very, very powerful for us because the Lord knows where we need. The Lord knows what we need and where we need to be at in Him. Amen. And on today, I want to talk about today something that the Lord has pressed in my spirit to do and to talk about today. It is a very, very powerful thing. It's four letters, but it's very, very powerful. And I just want to talk about life today. Life, that word, L-I-F-E, life. And what the Lord has done for our life. And it's very, very powerful. Life is very, very powerful because it helps us navigate through our day. It is the lifeblood of our very existence, life. Life is the very existence. But so many people in this life do not know what life is. So many people don't know how to live life because they don't know what true life is. So today, the Lord has pressed it upon us to talk about what life is. And if I could title this topic today, it would be A Life for a Life. In life, we sometimes don't understand why we go through the things that we go through. Sometimes we ask God, like, Lord, why am I going through this? Lord, why am I going through that? Lord, why is this thing upon me? And sometimes the Lord does not give an answer to why sometimes. Maybe he gives you an answer at the beginning. Sometimes he gives an answer in the middle. Sometimes he gives an answer at the end. And sometimes he allows us to go through things that we just are like, Lord, wait a minute. I'm living for you. I'm doing this for you. Why am I going through? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? And today, we have to understand that life is very, very precious. Life is very, very valuable. Life is valuable. And some, like I said, some do not know the true meaning of life, and they don't know why they're going through. They don't know why they're here. They don't know why they're going through things in their life. Maybe some, but some don't understand why they're here. Well, I'm here to tell you, you're here because God has a purpose for your life. And you have to understand the basic fundamentals of life to be able to live life. And the first thing we have to understand about the basic fundamentals of life is where life comes from. A whole lot of people, and I'm not just talking about physical life. I'm talking about life in general. I'm talking about both natural life and spiritual life. And when you talk about a life for a life, this is something that God has done for us. God has given his life so that we might be able to live life. I know that we said at the beginning that some people do not understand what life really is. Well, the only way you'll understand what life is and how to live life is if you go to the source of life. This is Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Because in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And if we could go to a scripture to start off with it, above John 14 and 6, we would go to John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. But I want to focus on John chapter 10, verse 10. And it reads, in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11, it reads, Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse number 10 says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is where we want to focus on in verse number 10. I came that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Verse number 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. And I want to go to Romans chapter 12. And I know a lot of times you might say, well, Minister Adam, you read this verse a lot. Yeah, I sure do, because I love the this verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want to go here, and the Lord has pressed upon my spirit to do something in this topic today, and I'm going to do that later on in the show, before the show ends. I'm going to do it when the Lord lets me know when to do it. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse 2 says, we're going to start at verse number 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These two scriptures, to start off this topic today, is talking about life. These verses in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11, is talking about life. And also Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is talking about life. Now, both of these scriptures, you might say, well, both of these scriptures are talking about spiritual life, and it is, but it's also talking about natural life too, because there is a lot of people that go through life not knowing how to live life, looking for life, basically looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking to live life, but they don't know how to live life because life has not come into them. Life has shown itself. But they have not received the life. Amen. And what I mean by that is going back to John chapter 14, verse number 6, which is recorded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, they have not received the life. The life has appeared itself unto them. The life has given life. The life has extended life. As it's recorded in the word of God, that he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. In the New and the Old Testament, it's recorded that Jesus said that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But it is up to us to receive that life. It is for us to receive the life that Jesus has extended unto us. This Bible declares that we must receive that life, which is recorded in Acts 2:38, in John 3:16, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verse number 2. We see the Lord loves us so much that he gave his life for us. This is why the title of this topic is A Life for Life. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, if we break that verse down, it shows us what God is trying to give to us. He's trying to give us life. As it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said he came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What is that belief? What is that belief in him? The Bible also says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Belief is trusting in God. Belief is believing that God is going to give us what he knows that we need for our life, and that we trust him, that he knows what he's doing. Now, how do we receive the life that God is trying to give to us? Number one, we take on repentance. Acts 2:38 declares that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, and this promise, he made a promise unto us that when he gives us this life that is so precious. See, when we look at the word life, so many people have the definition of life so messed up and confused, and some people have it right. There are some people that take life at face value. They think that, hey, I'm supposed to live it the way I want to. But it's not that way. It's not that way. Life is so important, but many people don't value life. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, it is even as a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. James chapter 4, verse 14 is talking about life, the natural life. Life appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. We, in the time that we are living in, we see so many people living life, and they think that they are living life, but they're living life not to their full potential. They're living beneath their privileges, and there's so many people that have died off, and I'm going to use that term, that have died off, not living their full potential in life. They've went up out of here not living their full potential, and the potential that God had for them, the promise that God had for them, the destiny that God had for them, and they did not reach that full potential, and they died off. Some died off with their works undone, and I'm just, me personally, and this is not Bible, this is my personal opinion, amen, that if God has given us the way, the truth, and the life, that we are to accept it. And if we do not accept it, we are living beneath our privilege. Because we are not here just to twiddle our thumbs. We are not just here to just live life any kind of way, but we are here to live life for Christ and Christ only. The Bible declares that God breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. We were meant to live for Christ. We live every day that we wake up, we are breathing the breath of Christ. Naturally, and I'm talking about naturally. So it is apparent for us to live life the way God has called for us to live life. But first, we have to know how to live life. We got to understand. We have to study the Word of God to be able to live life. This is why I say it all the time that the Bible, if you want to know about life, you just read the Bible. Read the Word of God. For real, seriously. If you want to know anything, now it's good to, I'm not denouncing any other books, you know, Christian books or whatnot, or, you know, books of life and books of value or whatever. I'm not denying that. But if you want to know how to live life to the fullest, you have somewhere down the line, you have to pick up the Word of God. All because of John chapter 14, verse number 6. You got to. You want to know how to love? You got to learn. You got to read the Word of God. Because God said he is love. You want to know how to treat your spouse? Pick up the Word of God. You got to pick up the Word of God. It says, husbands, love thy wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. Wives, submit to the husbands as the church submits to God, unto God. But these are just different examples. But if you want to know how to be a great, a good parent, if you want to know how to be a good son or daughter, to your parents. The Bible declares what to do. This is why we need to read the Word of God, knowing how to live life. Just an example. It ain't just, the Bible says study to show thyself approved. It's not just saying to study to show thyself approved to get up in a pulpit. This is studying how to show yourself approved, how to live life. Just how to live life in God. How to navigate through life. Ain't just talking about, when it says study to show thyself approved, it's not just talking about how to study to know Genesis to Revelation, how to put this scripture with this scripture, to know how to preach. It's teaching us how to live life. If you want to know about, look, there's a whole lot of good life lessons in the Word of God that we can take out of the Word of God and use it to our own life. You need healing? Do like the woman with the issue of blood. You want boldness? How to in boldness in life? How to wisely stand up before man for God? Do like the three Hebrew boys. Amen. You want to know how to talk to the sinner man? Learn about how Jesus talked to the sinner man. It's basic. When it comes to life, it's very basic. When it comes to living life for God, it's very basic, but it's very powerful. Amen. When we look at life and people don't value life anymore, we can look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 and verse number 12. Where it declares that in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 24, the Bible declares, and then shall many be offended. We see that now. We see that now in today's generation. In today's 2024, many people get offended. And it ain't just by the Word of God. You can look at somebody the wrong way and they get offended. I had a lady, I was at the gas station. About a week or two ago. And just because, you know, I pulled up to get my gas and everything and got out of the car, went to go pay for my gas, came back out, hadn't even pumped my gas yet. And this lady drove up behind me. I'm guessing the other pump that was behind me, I guess she didn't like that pump, so she wanted the pump that I was at. And hadn't got out to pump my gas yet. You know, I gotten out of the car, but I hadn't started pumping my gas. And I was doing something. I don't know where. I opened my car door and got something out got my phone out or whatever. I don't know what I was doing. But I was, you know, rushing for time, trying to pump my gas and then get to work. But this lady got mad at me because I was, in her eyes, I was standing there too long. And she drove past me and started swearing up a storm, started calling me every name in the book but a child of God, and went around to the end. I'm like, ma'am, the only thing you got to do is just, you know, if you're trying to hurry, you know, there's other pumps. Nobody was using any other pumps. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. you know, there's other pumps. And the lady got mad at me. So you can offend people just by doing nothing. Well, you need to hurry up and pump your gas. Ma'am, there's other pumps. But I began to tell her, you know what? You have a blessed day. You have a blessed day. And while she was standing there pumping her gas, she was standing there calling me everything but a child of God. I ignored her. And at the end of it, she, you know, after I got done pumping my gas and was on my way to get in my car, I said, ma'am, you have a blessed day. I pray the Lord bless you. And I got in my car and drove off. And while I was driving off, she was steadily still. I watched her mouth move still standing there cussing. Okay, that's fine with me. But that's the way we need to do. That's the way we live life. To keep confrontation there, as many people, and this is just a little nugget here about life. What if I would have went off on that lady? It would have caused a whole big commotion. Now we see a lot of commotions going on day to day on the internet. We see it going on in our day to day lives. What if I would? That'd have been another episode on Facebook Live, or something. News report could have done anything. Could have happened. Anything could have happened. But no. No, ma'am, you got it. You go ahead. I let her say whatever she wanted to me while I was standing there pumping my gas, because I ain't about to know. We ain't about to do this. Didn't say nothing to her while I was pumping my gas. And I was sitting there. You know what? The best resort to stuff like that in life, pray over yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Don't plead the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you need to plead the blood of Jesus over them, but plead the blood of Jesus over yourself, because that's surely what I was doing. I wouldn't plead the blood. No, I wouldn't pray. I prayed for her, but I would, Lord, strike her down. Lord, get her. Lord, no. Lord, you get me. Get me. You might say, well, Minister Adam, why are you saying get you? You ain't do nothing. No, I'm trying to make sure I don't do anything. Lord, keep my flesh under control. My flesh is already under control, but keep me under control even more. Uh-huh. The blood of Jesus, Adam. You will not let your flesh, you saved. Nope, you ain't going to do it. I spoke to my own self. Prophesied over my own self. Why? Because I know me. And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I'm not saying that. When I say I'm not saying this lesson is all about me. I'm not saying that. When I'm saying plead the blood over yourself, because sometimes we go through problems in life and we don't know what to do. There might be a case where we don't know what to do. That's the time to pray over yourself. That's the time to pray, Lord, I need help. I need help. Amen. But in, like we said, many people shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. This is Matthew chapter 24, verse number 10. And in verse number 12, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is the day and age that we are living in. Because sin abounds in the earth, the love of people shall wax cold. It's getting cold out there. It's a cold era that we are living in. One minute they love you, the next minute they don't love you. And then one minute they like you, the next minute they don't like you. It's just everything. And that's because we're living in the last days. It's because we're living in the last days. It's time for Jesus to return. Lord is soon to split the sky. That's why it is. But in that, now, I want to show you this about life. A lot of people, even in biblical times, they wanted freedom to live life. They wanted freedom to live life. The Jews, they wanted freedom to live life. This is mainly why Jesus came. But he came that they might have spiritual life. He saw them. Because Jews today, even today Jews, the modern-day Jews are still waiting on the Messiah to come. Now, he done came over 2,000 years ago, done bled, done died, done rose again, and done descended back up into heaven. But the Jews, are waiting on the Messiah to come. Some of them are still waiting on the Messiah to come because they want their freedom. Even though Jesus done came, done died, done bled and died, and done poured out his spirit, he's pouring out his spirit even now to set them free spiritually. Amen? If we look in modern day history or in past world history, the Holocaust was the genocide of some of 6 million European Jews during World War II, between 1941 and 1945. The Holocaust was a captivity for the Jews, and they wanted to be free. If we go forward into the 60s, we look at on March 7th of 1965, 600 unarmed civil rights protesters were charged on with batons and tear gas by state troopers after crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge while trying to march to Montgomery, Alabama, for trying to get the right to vote. Everybody wants freedom to do what they want to do. Everybody wants freedom to do what they want to do in life. But I heard the word of God say that life has been given to us, and it's been freely given. But we must understand first, our spiritual life needs to be set free. We need to be set free spiritually so that we might be free naturally. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, life, the Lord wants to, that life that the Lord wants to give us is holy and free. But in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20, verse number 7, it declares, the Bible declares that the Lord has told us to be holy, for he is holy. If you want to live life, you've got to be holy. If you want that life for life, that life that Jesus gives, you've got to be holy. You've got to be holy. Amen. Because just John chapter 8, verse 36 declares, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. This is why we need to be free in Jesus, a life for a life. People don't understand what life really is until you understand life in Jesus. Some will try to tell you it don't take all that, that you can live life any kind of way. But the Bible declares in Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that you can't live life any kind of way. You can't do it. You cannot do it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you. Amen. In Jude verses 3 through 4, the Bible declares, beloved, when I have all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. And this is where the Bible warns us that certain men will tell you, oh no, it don't take all that. You can live any, you can live your life any kind of way. You can live this way, you can live that way. No, you can't. No, you can't. This Bible declares that in verse number 4, it declares in Jude verse number 4, it declares that there are certain men that crept in unaware who were before the old ordinance to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Amen. And there are so many preachers that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. You might say, well, Brother Adam, how do you say that? Why do you say that? Because they'll tell you, so many preachers will tell you, or some preachers will tell you, oh, you're covered by grace. You're covered by grace. You can live any kind of way, but you're covered by grace. You can continue to drink that drink or smoke that smoke or party it up. That ain't living. That's not living. You can continue to fornicate if you want to. You can continue to lie if you want to. You can continue to do this if you want to. You can continue to do that if you want to. Anything you want to do, you can do it. And then we have people that are not preachers, that are trying to pretend to be preachers, that are telling you, oh, you have to navigate to the world of the world today and all of this stuff. No, you don't have to do it that way. That's old teaching. That's old. No. This Bible declares that we must contend to the faith. We must contend to what Jesus told us to do. The Bible declares. This is not from Minister Adam. Minister Adam did not declare this. Bishop Carver did not declare this. Apostle Cook did not declare this. This is not nothing. This nobody on the Spirit Alive declared this. This is the Word of God. Pastor Carver didn't declare this. This is God declared this. This Bible declares that we must be holy. This Bible declares that we must preach the Word of God. And when we preach the Word of God like it is, when we preach the Word of God like it is, we are giving life unto people. We're preaching life unto people. Now, let me tell you something. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There's a way, but our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. We must do it the way Jesus said to do it. And we can't patty cake. We can't patty cake with the Word of God. Look, this is what the Lord gave me this a couple weeks ago. I was watching a program. I forget what program it was, but I was sitting there in the room, and the Lord started ministering to me, and he showed me, he said, Adam, anytime you rewrite truth, it becomes a lie. And I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? Anytime you rewrite truth. Anytime you rewrite truth, it's no longer truth anymore. It's a lie. The Bible declares that anytime if another person come preaching another gospel, it's not the gospel. There is no other gospel. It's no longer the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. But if you rewrite the truth, if you try to preach any other gospel unto man, then you are preaching a lie. It's no longer the truth. And I said, oh, well, Lord, that's what you mean. If I go off and I turn this gospel. And I try to preach what I want to preach and try to switch up the word of God, turning the word of God into lasciviousness, then I'm out of order. Anybody that tries to preach outside of the word of God or try to add to the word of God or try to take away from the word of God, No. Let's stick right here for a minute. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then this is all about life. We must understand where life comes from. Life comes from the word of God. Life can teach you about living life. And I say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Life can teach you about living life. That's why I said a life for a life. You came into this world with a life, but you really didn't have life. You really don't know how to live it because of the fall of Adam. Adam came into this world with life, perfect life at that. No sin in the world, but he did not know how to live life. Otherwise, he would have not done what he did. He wouldn't have disobeyed God. He didn't have his mind on life. But he took the word of another individual, which was his wife. He took the word of another individual. He followed another individual instead of following life, the way it was ordained for man to do. He took his eyes off of life and put his eyes on natural things. He put his eyes on creation instead of the creator. And it tainted with his life. Once you put your eyes on creation and what's been created around you, and I'm not just talking about the natural things that have been created. I'm not talking about the plants and the trees. I'm talking about life scenarios, things that try to trouble you, and you put your eyes on that stuff. It's meant to lead you astray. When we focus on things that are not of God, the things out there in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those things that are out there in the world, these things that are out there in the world that are meant to destroy us, and we're going to get to that factor. These things are meant to destroy you. They're not meant to help you. They're meant to destroy you. The devil has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. How do you think the devil steals, kills, and destroys from people? He uses things around him. He uses the things of the world. The devil uses these things to try to navigate you away from the destiny that God has got for you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Let's go to Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew real quick. Not Matthew. I mean 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just to show you, people, and it's not just preachers. I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about preachers and people on the outside of the faith. Because we got preachers that are in the church, but they're on the outside of the faith. They're in every wind and doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." What is the faith? The same faith that was talked about in the book of Jude. The same ordination that God had put at the very beginning, that's the faith that they have walked away from. That is the life that they have walked away from. The same life that Jesus that the Lord wanted to give Adam in Genesis, he walked away from it. When he chose to disobey God, he walked away from the life. Life was perfect. Life before Adam sinned, before Adam gave in to the temptation of what he saw, he took his eyes off of it. He took his eyes off of life. But before he took his eyes off of life and gave in to the temptation of what he saw around him, life was perfect. Life was without sin. There was no sin in the world. Everything was perfect. That was the image that man was founded upon. When people say, well, I'm found in the image of God. I was created in the image of God. Yeah, mankind was, but mankind lost that image. And the only way to get that image back is to go back before God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Thank you, Jesus. That in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Same thing that Adam did. He gave in to the spirit of his flesh. He gave in to the spirit of his flesh. And man is doing the same thing. Mankind has done the same thing. God is telling us to come on, baby. I'm holding back my coming so you can come. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But yet we choose not to want to follow the life. What we think is life is not really life. What we think is life is not really life. Now watch this. In verse number 2 it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is seared. They don't want to come to the unity of the faith. They don't want to listen to sound doctrine. These are people that are doing this. Now watch this. Now this is for preachers. Preachers that are preaching false truth. That ain't truth at all. You're preaching profane doctrine. Watered down doctrine. This is a message for them. If thou put in verse number 6, 1 Timothy, verse number 6, it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what is that? What is the things? If you preach sound doctrine, I'm going to start at verse number 5 first. Hold on. Let me not do verse number 6, because I want to show you. Verse number 5 says, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Everything that is good from God, everything that has been brought from God, the life for life, the life that God wants to give you, it has been sanctified by the word of God. It has been sanctified by God himself and by prayer. He prayed for you. He knew what you needed. And he wants to give you life today. It says, verse number 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Nourishes up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. See, when it comes to the word of God, you can only be a good minister if you bring forth the word of God the way God tells you to. That's good doctrine. In the word of faith, not in the words of itching ears, not saying what the people want you to say, not preaching with what you think the people should hear. It's what the Word of God wants them to hear. That's what you preach. You don't preach, oh, you covered under grace, and you can still sin, but you covered under grace. Uh-uh. Nope. They don't buy that. Mm-mm. The Bible says, the Bible declares, must we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse number 2 says, God forbid. That's what it is. Amen. Verse number 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Amen. This is what it's telling us to do. Amen. It's telling us to refuse profane and old wives' fables, lies. That's why I said, if a person tries to rewrite truth, it becomes a lie. It's profane. You cannot mix falseness and try to put it in somebody's life and try to think that they're going to be able to live life right. You can't. They won't be able to do it. They won't. It's not possible. It's not possible. Let's go down to verse number 16 real quick. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, which is the faith, which is the word of God that God ordained in the beginning, which we read in Jude. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's why you can't profane the gospel. When you preach it the way God tells you to, if you live it the way God tells you to, you're not only saving yourself, you're saving yourself. You're saving yourself. The Bible declares that you're saving yourself and you're saving those that hear you. And actions speak, the old saying says, actions speak louder than words. When you live this gospel, when you live holy in front of people, come on here. If you live the life that God has called for you to live, you are not only saving yourself, but you're saving them. Now watch this. Acts, let's go to Acts, because we read in here 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, and it says that you are saved, you say, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Okay, watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. Watch this. Amen. I'm being led by the Holy Ghost today. I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. I'm not even gonna follow my notes. We're gonna do this the Holy Ghost way. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Because it just told us that if we continue in the doctrine, in the good doctrine, that we not only save thyself, but we're saving them that hear it. Amen. We live the word. Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. Amen. And it reads, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. Uh-oh. This generation is untorn. It's a messed up generation. It's a messed up world. It's a corrupt society. And we have to save ourselves. Even if some don't want to go, if mama don't want to go, don't hinder me. If daddy don't want to go, don't you hinder you. No, no. Daddy ain't going to hinder me. If wife don't want to go, don't mean I'm not going. If children don't want to go, look, it's God's way or it's the highway. I'm going this way. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. So what are we saving ourselves from? What are we saving ourselves from? We are saving ourselves when we contend to the faith, as is stated in the book of Jude. If we can continue in the good doctrine, continue into the word of faith, as it's talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, What are we doing? What are we saving ourselves from? The Lord himself called us out of the world. But some have kicked God out of his own house. So what are we saving ourselves from? Let's go to 1 John. And then I'm going to get a couple of comments from our Spirit Alive family, because I know they got some good nuggets to give. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 15. This is what we're saving ourselves from. When we contend to the faith, when we contend in the doctrine, when we continue to preach, when we continue to witness, when we continue to live out the life that God has called for us to live in holiness, this is what we're saving ourselves from, and this is what we're saving others from. This is why we preach the way we preach. This is why we teach the way we teach, because we want you to be saved from this. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. Starting in verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, watch this. There's two things that in these verses that the Lord, if you live the life that God has called for you to live, there's two things in here that we're saving ourselves from. That was number one. We're saving ourselves from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The same thing that Adam went through, the lust of the eye, right? We said that earlier, right? He looked upon what was around him, and he got out of alignment with God by watching, not keeping his spiritual eyes, his mind focused on God. Eve brought something to him. She brought him a fruit, and it was good. He saw that from his natural eyes, he saw that it was good, and he ate it. Now, some people say it was an apple. Some say, I don't care what fruit it was. That really doesn't matter. It's just that what matters is that he ate a forbidden fruit that God told him not to eat of. I don't care what fruit he took. If it was some grapes, I don't care. God told you not to eat it. If you would eat thereof, you should surely die. Now, that should have told Adam something, but he didn't listen. He let the lust of the eye, he let what was around him, he let the lust of the woman, because the woman would brought it to him. Well, that's my wife. And not saying, hold on, wait a minute. Let me stop right there, because I don't want nobody to think that, you got to listen to your wife sometimes. Look, if my wife tells me something that goes against what the Word of God says, I'm not listening to her. If my mama tells me something that goes against the Word of God, I'm not listening to her. If my daddy tells me, this is why we need to pay attention to more of what God tells us to do. We have a whole lot of people that are listening to what man said. This generation is a lot of men pleasers. I don't know what to do. They please men rather than they please God. They rather please man or please their flesh better than they want to please God. It's not my will to please man. It's not my will to please my flesh. But that's what Adam did. He pleased his flesh and he pleased his wife. Because I guarantee, and this is just my own personal opinion, Eve probably would have got upset. Oh, well, Adam, come on. If he didn't accept what Eve was giving him. Because she ate of it. She took it. She took everything in that the serpent was. First of all, I don't understand why you standing there talking to a serpent. If an animal talking to me, I'm gonna start rebuking some stuff. Especially if you talking against what God told me, I'm gonna rebuke because I don't need no animal talking to me. First of all, all right, that's the first thing. But this is the first thing that we are saving ourselves from. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the things that are in the world. Amen. In verse 17, it says, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof. This is what we are saving ourselves from. We read in John chapter 10, verse number 10, we're saving ourselves from death. We're saving ourselves from destruction. When we cleave unto the will of God, when we cleave unto the life that God wants to have for our life, we're cleaving unto the word of God. We're cleaving unto life, a life for a life. Amen. But we, as man pleasers, as flesh pleasers, some of us, not all of us, but some of us, we want to please the flesh. But I want to get some comments from our Spirit of Life family real quick before I continue on, because I want to get some more of this godly information out to the people in Jesus' name. But I want to get some comments from our Spirit of Life family. If anybody has a comment or question, and even those that are on the listening in, and you want to chime in with a question, I'm very, very happy to answer it. Amen. In Jesus' name, if anybody wants to give their comment or give their question now, you can at this time in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, Minister Togo.
Amen. Praise the Lord, sir. How are you?
I wanted to comment on the portion of the teaching where you were speaking about being slow to anger and like having self-control. And a day when we live in a time where people are so easily offended, and as Christians, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to not be easily offended, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, right? And so we just have to read 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not easily offended. Love is not easily provoked. And then the other scripture that I thought about was James 1:19, where it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? And if we do what the Bible is telling us here, we're going to be so blessed, because we're going to avoid the trap that many people are setting for you when they seek to provoke you. A lot of people have their buttons right on the face. Say this to him, he'll do this. If this, he'll do this. This, they're going to do this. And what you're doing is letting the Holy Spirit rein you in. so you don't fall into the trap that these people want to set for you, because they got a trap for you.
Right.
But that's why not being easily provoked, not being easily offended, it is God giving you the power to not be overcome by other people who are vulnerable to those kinds of traps. So I think that was a good message, and I really wanted to just thank you for sharing that with everybody.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. I thank God. Bishop Carver brought out a good point about love, not love being slow to anger. Brought out a good point. Want to say this. I said it earlier, or we said it earlier, that life will teach you how to live life. You want to learn how to love? Got to read the Word of God. Got to learn how to love. When he said love is slow to anger, it took me back when Bishop Carver was speaking. It took me back to when Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross. And he didn't say a word. Now, when they were mocking him, when they were beating him, love was still showing love. Love wasn't angry. Love was not angry. Love, even from the cross, said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love showed love. Mm-hmm. Love showed love even when love was getting beat on, even when love was getting spit on, even when love was getting mocked, even when love, come on here, even when love was getting nails driven in his hands, love, even when love was getting nails driven in his feet, even when love was getting beat with the cat of nine tails, love still showed love from the cross. And said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love still loved them. Even when he was getting mocked while he was on the cross. He wasn't just getting mocked before he went to the cross. He got mocked even on the cross. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. What? Do you not know what type of God we serve? If God would have came down from that, he could have smited everybody just being on the cross. He didn't even have to come down. Number one, he didn't have to go to the cross in the first place, but he did it out of his love for us. Amen. That's another topic for another day. Amen. I started a whole new lesson, y'all. But in Matthew chapter 13, I want to show you something. Wanted to show you this, that the Lord himself calls us out of the world. Some have kicked God out of his own house. He showed love even when he went, like I said, when he went to the cross, they kicked him out of his own authority. Man tried to kick him out of his own authority. Yeah, he had the authority to come down. Yeah, he had the authority to smite everybody. But he didn't. They tried to kick him out of his own authority. But they still couldn't kick him out. See, even now we try to kick God out of his own house. We're letting every wind and doctrine move. We're letting... And if you've seen the, Oh, Lord. See, now I know most of us have seen the pastor that did the New Year's Eve service, and he was playing worldly music in his church, and it looked like a club and all this stuff. Look, first of all, anytime you have to use the world system, and I'm talking about Satan's devices to draw somebody, because they said it back in the 90s, we need to find something to draw the young people. They said it back when I was a kid. The same thing that they're saying now. They said it back when I was a kid. The church. This is when I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, I believe that started when we started letting the things in the church, there's no harm in it. But the Bible declares that it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. That's why the Bible declares, be careful for nothing. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things that we let creep in. We got to put a stop to it right then and there. We have to put a stop to it right then and there as preachers, as teachers, as pastors. We have to put a stop to it. We can't just let it just go. We're wondering why people are not getting delivered in the church. That's the reason. Because we're letting every wind and doctrine come in and preach and teach. Why in the world would just because they have status, just because they, in the world, they have status, you letting them come and preach at your church? This is NFL player so-and-so. I've seen this happen. This is actor so-and-so. You letting them teach the people of God and they ain't got one bit of Holy Ghost. You letting them teach the word of God and they ain't got one bit of sound doctrine down there. And you wondering why, we wonder why people are not getting delivered. Why in the world would you play? You know people's flesh is riled up. You know people are going to be in their flesh. You know this. As a man or woman of God, you know this. You know what you've been delivered from. Or have you been delivered from it? Anytime you let the world come into the church and you let the world, and I mean the world system, you bring the world system into the church trying to draw people to the church. And I don't mean typically to the building, but you're trying to draw, you calling yourself trying to draw souls to Christ, but yet you using the world. We don't need the world system. The Bible declares it. We read it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We don't need it. We have our own song. We have our own dance. We have our own. No, the Bible declares. We are in a holy place, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We're letting the devil do whatever he wants to do in the church. For what? And we wonder why. We don't see people delivered. We wonder why we don't see people getting saved. It's because of the spirits that are roaming free in that body. And I don't mean the physical body. I'm talking about the body of Christ in the churches, in the building now. We letting any wind and doctrine. And it ain't just preaching. We letting them sing. We letting them preach. We letting them play the drums. We letting them dress any kind of way. We wondering why people's flesh is rising up because we not preaching it. We not preaching life. This is life, y'all. Come on. I'm about to go under the unction of the Holy Ghost now. Tell your people. Tell somebody if they ain't no right for no man or woman to wear something showing everything. It ain't right. You know flesh is up inside there. But you letting them lead the prayer, you letting them lead the prayer. They got spirits on them, but because they have gifts, you let them do it. No. No, baby, no, no, no. You need to sit down somewhere and you need to learn something. Then maybe then you can get on the praise team. Maybe then you can lead praise service. Get yourself, look, but we need something to draw the young people. We need to give them what they gave us. Give them what they gave us. I am now 36 years old. I have never ever have I seen, as I see now, and this is my own personal opinion, I believe it started back in the 90s, mid to late 90s, early 2000s, when we started bringing the ungodly stuff into the church, trying to draw people. Give them what they gave us as children. Get on the altar. Repent. Get on the altar and repent. And then after you get done repenting, repent some more. Repentance. Being baptized in Jesus' name. Being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Staying on the altar, letting the Holy Ghost hit you for a while. Let you speak. That's why, in the Bible, that's why they had tarrying. I remember back in the day they had tarrying meetings. They let them bask in the Holy Ghost for an hour or 2 hours. I remember that's when the power used to come. People were delivered, not just spiritually, but physically too. But we don't do that no more. We let people just stay on the altar for like 5 to 10 minutes, let them speak a little bit of gibberish, and baby, you got the Holy Ghost. You can't, no. Don't do that. Let them dwell in the presence of the Lord. Let the Shekinah glory rain on them for a while. Well, Minister Adam, it don't take hours for God to do it. You don't know what God wants to do with them. It might take less time. It might take more time. You don't know the status of somebody's situation. Just like I don't know. Well, it don't take forever for God to deliver somebody. No, it don't. But guess what? It might take more time for that individual. It might take a little bit more time for that individual. You don't know what they've been through. That's why I'm saying this. This is why the Holy Ghost is leading me to say, you don't know what a person has been through. A whole lot of people have been through a lot of things. Abuse mentally, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, self-esteem issues, dealing with mind battles. You don't know what people are battling with. And they're coming in looking for relief. Let them stay on the altar. Let them lay at the feet of Jesus for a while. And let the Shekinah glory fall on them. And let them marinate on the altar for a while. Just because they receive the precious gift, just because they repent and get baptized in Jesus' name and get filled with the Holy Ghost, let them stay there for a while. After they receive the Holy Ghost, let them speak all over the place. Let them speak for a while so they can get what they need. Because some people ain't getting what they need because we having quick services. We having baptisms on this day. We having baptisms on that day. No, every day. Every day is a day to be saved. Amen. In Acts 2:38, because hadn't got finished, but I'm going to stop here. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the way we receive that life, by following Acts 2:38. Amen. Now, I said that the Lord had pressed upon my spirit to do something, and I was going to do it when the Lord told me to, and now is the appropriate time. I don't usually do this, but I'm moving under the unction of the Holy Ghost now. There are some people that need healing in their body, spiritually and naturally. There are some people that are on this broadcast right now that are listening, that you ain't told a soul about what's going on with you. And I know some of y'all are going through problems. Some of you are going through situations. Some of you are going through health problems. Some of y'all are going through battles that you ain't told a soul about. Well, guess what? I want to pray for you. In Jesus' name. This is the time now that we need to be so keyed into the Holy Ghost that when we see somebody going through, we need to be so keyed into the Holy Ghost that when the Holy Ghost leads us to do something, do it. Because you don't know what a person is going through. So I want to pray for those that are going through. And I do know of three situations regarding three different people. I'm not going to say their names over the air because it's nobody's business. Amen. But there is another person that is listening to this broadcast right now that is going through. And they are, and the Lord is leading me to say this, they are a watchman on the wall. And I want to pray for them. Amen. Another one, I got told before we went on the air, and I want to pray for that individual too. And any other individual that is going through anything. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence right now, God. And we thank you for what you have brought into this lesson, Lord God. We thank you for everything that has been said and been done. We thank you for the word that you have brought forth. Lord God, we pray that the word of God has touched somebody and ministered unto somebody's soul, God. And now we ask, God, that you heal the broken and confused hearts. We pray that you heal. Thank you, Jesus. Heal the body now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, heal the body now. Any person that needs healing in their body, we ask you to touch now. In the name of Jesus. We ask you to touch them from the crown of their head to the very soles of their feet, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, restore unto them the life that you have given them. Lord God, that what the enemy has stole from them, Lord, we ask you to increase it unto them a hundredfold. Lord God, everything that is going on in a person's life, God, we ask you to work out the situation, Lord God. We claim healing of the mind, God. Anybody who's listening that is dealing with mind battles, God, we claim healing now. Healing of the heart, God, of a broken heart, God. We claim healing of that broken heart. Mend that heart together, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We claim healing for the family, God, in the name of Jesus. Step into that home. Heal that home. Heal that husband. Heal that wife. Heal those children, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you just to touch now, touch financially, touch spiritually, God. Lord, lead us in your way, God, that we might not sin against you, God. Lord, let us hide the word in our heart, God. So that when the enemy comes up to attack us, that we have enough ammunition to go up against him, God. In the name of Jesus, because you said in your word, God, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We rebuke strongholds now. We rebuke captivity now. We rebuke bondage now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus on every person that has listened to this broadcast today. Lord, step into their homes, God. We plead the blood of Jesus, everything concerning them. Lord, that you be the standard in their life. Lord, that you provide for them because you know what they need. Provide for them both spiritually and naturally in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you now. We praise you now. We glorify your name now in Jesus' name. Lord God, every unspoken request that has gone up before you, every request that has gone up before you, those that have not said a word about what they're going through, you know what they're going through, God. We ask you to touch and to heal now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Spirit Alive Network. Where it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Continue to listen to the Spirit Alive Network. We got some great shows for you coming up this week in Jesus' name. All of my Spirit Alive family, God bless you. Pastor Tuggle, First Lady Tuggle, God bless you all. Listeners, I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver, but all of our listeners, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. From the Spirit of Life family to your family, we love you and God bless you. And have a very, very blessed weekend and have a very, very blessed rest of your next week in Jesus' name. God bless you.